I've often used as an example this thing that happens in Soweto, where the men within that community will walk the women early in the morning to catch the taxi, and maybe even if they're driving their cars off to work, just to make sure that their women are safe and protected. And this is an effort that those men have decided. I think it's in Soweto. My sister used to live within that area, and she told me about this. And I'm sure it's not the only place where something like this happens, but this is not the only example of people recognizing that there's a problem within their community and coming together and deciding in a legal manner, through a legal approach, to actually start fixing the problem as a collective. There are two opposite extremes to this. There is the one extreme where you get things like mob justice, right? Where if a child, or let's say maybe a 15-year-old or anyone, breaks into one of your homes, and then everyone in the community chases them down and starts beating them up. And then you have the other extreme where people decide to do absolutely nothing at all and just let the community deteriorate if it does, because you're thinking about your own safety, your own time, etc. Then there are those who are more set at the center, who understand that, first of all, I am a working individual. I cannot protect everybody as myself. I can't do it alone. And therefore, whatever I get involved in has to happen or has to be maintained by a collective, right? And these things happen a lot within our community. We, especially as South Africans, as I have studied and know my own context, right? We have been doing this for many years. We have been gathering together after having recognized a problem within our communities, and we come together and we collectively find solutions for those problems. We do it in the context of church, right? We do it in the context of fat and set with groceries. At church, we collect money every week, and then we make sure that it advances the ministry, it builds the church. We all have a shelter whenever we're coming to church. That's money collected from the people that are coming to the church because they believe their community needs a church, because that's what a church is. It's a community center. It's a community building. Then the church leaders will then get together and decide, with the funds they've received, how can they serve those coming to church, and how can they serve the community at large? So that's one thing to consider and to think about, right? And then you also have stokvels. Stokvels, it's particularly women who come together here in South Africa, who come together, decide that, listen, we need groceries. Our children need to go to school. We need to buy houses. We need to buy cars. So there are different types of stokvels that recognize that we can't have our children in our community not going to school. So women organize themselves in order to collect that money and solve the problem of groceries, solve the problem of educating their children and keeping them off of the streets. It goes a long way when you look at it that way, making sure that their families are not starving, are not hungry. They come together and they're also building community and relationship in the process. The thing about younger generations is that we have not been exposed much to this, particularly those who are born in wealthy times. This is something that's even documented in the Bible. The younger generation does not learn a lot of skills, or a lot of useful skills, primarily because they're born during good times, when family parents are now stable, where the economy is a bit more stable, where a lot of the shifts that existed in the past no longer exist, where you're living in a suburb, or, I mean, majority of South Africa is not living in that state. But I want to speak to both, to both the young person who's living in the suburbs and the young person who's living in the townships. And of course, just because you're living in a township, it doesn't mean that you're coming from a poor family. There are many wealthy families in the township who own incredible, beautiful homes, some even apartment units and flats and complexes that are present in the townships. But the point that I want to make here is this. The point that I'm trying to make is this. We, as the younger generation, we are not as, we don't need to form societies. We don't need to form what is known as umkholiso. We feel we don't need, especially because we're groomed. We're groomed by the modern world, entertainment, media, to think of wealth as something that I'm building for myself. We don't think in terms of community. How can we build our community? And this is something that existed throughout history. You know, I'm reminded of a time where when Jesus, not Jesus, when God in the Old Testament was leading the Israelites into Canaan and taking them from Egypt. And the one thing that he says was, this generation does not know. There came a time where I think the forefathers had passed on, and now there was a new generation that did not know war. So as a result, they couldn't just go into Canaan and then just, you know, go on these military expeditions. They couldn't do that because they didn't have the skill. Therefore, they had to spend some time outside accumulating the skills, learning how to fight, learning how to become warriors before they actually went into Canaan and started their military invasion, I suppose I should call it, right? And it's not because God couldn't do it himself or he couldn't give them the power, but God understands that a relationship between God and man is a partnership. You as a man, you know, with everything that God has given you, you come with your brain, you come with your skills, you come with your bronze, you bring that to the table. And then God is the one who leads you into how to use those things effectively. And then while you're also being accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, like how you can have a group of soldiers going into war, and then God just comes and makes them sound like there are hundreds and thousands of them. I mean, that was actually just two people. But the point I'm trying to make there is to say, we need to understand that we might be the generation of young people that feel, or we grew up in a time where we feel we don't need to build things that build our communities. And we do need to be community minded, right? And there's many ways to doing that. The first thing you can do is focusing on actions like volunteering or participating in local initiatives that help better and the safety of your community, or maybe doing some tutoring classes for the children within your community. If you're a person who understands maths well, and then you just join with another few people that understand maths, understand IT, understand how the corporate world works, and then you can offer classes on how to orientate, I think is the word to use, young people, and getting them, teaching them how to cross over into the working environment. This is a very, very important thing. So that would fall under skills development within your community. You can become a role model where you've built your home, you're living in the suburbs, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But you're also going home and acting as a role model, speaking to young kids who have no idea how to get to where you've gotten, and sort of finding a way to usher them and work with those that are willing to work for you. You don't have to force it. Find those 5 or 10 that are willing to commit and work with those, right? And then you also have voice and advocacy, where you can use your voice to participate in parliamentary activities, go to your city hall and attend meetings that are being held to discuss very big changes within your community. Usually they're discussed by people who are governing your area. You can participate in those. And then you also have being able to be globally connected as a young person. You would be the person who's globally connected, and you bring those connections to benefit either your community or society at large. I mean, you have a lot of people who are globally connected, who are making deals or having conversations to benefit the rest of us within the country. Very, very important thing to note. Very important thing to note. So with today's technology, young people can contribute on a global scale, whether through social media activism, international volunteer programs, or crowdfunding for global causes. Crowdfunding for global causes. So this is something to consider, right? I know I want to become a global citizen, but I don't want to lose sight of the fact that I can also make an impact if I'm just like how Jesus poured himself into 12 people. We need to not take that for granted. And it's very, very important that we don't. So the question I'm going to leave with you, and it's a very important one. What impact do you want to make in your community? What skill, what advantage has God graced you with that if you poured it into others, those people would benefit all the more? And do remember, even if you're a person working at an office, making a lot of money, and you're contributing at church, I believe, and the church is making that impact. I am a big believer in building that giving and that contributing bone within myself as an individual. I believe in doing my own things, even if I don't have the time to do it all the time. I do believe in always exploring what I could do as an individual to help someone else. So with that said, I'm going to leave you with this question. How do you think, what advantage do you have? What has God graced you with that you feel can be of benefit to people where you come from, either the community, the village, the township, or even the suburb that you live in? How can they benefit from what God has graced you with?